and silence your cell phones as we prepare our hearts to receive the Word of God. Let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
And then last but not least, we have a special guest speaker today. By way of Missouri to Tampa to Dallas, my friend and dear friend and pastor, Pastor Eddie Freeman, his wife Jessica, joining us today. Would you welcome Pastor Eddie to the platform?
Good morning, church. Man, you're a good-looking group today. All right, so I think I might have shared this the last time I was here, but it'll be good to refresh you, okay? So I got invited over to Pastor Eddie's house yesterday to eat some crawfish and shrimp, and man. So you know how, I don't know if this happens to you because you guys are probably used to it, but like when I'm doing the crawfish and like I get these little cuts on my thumb and finger, that's when you know, like, man, you've been eating some crawfish. That was good stuff. So here's the thing. Like, Pastor Eddie and Miss Peggy, they took a lot of time with that. Man, they worked at getting everything prepared. If I would have sat down at the table and, you know, had a couple of crawfish and a few shrimp and not said a word, what might have they thought about that? The food wasn't very good, right? Right? Because if you're eating somewhere good, like you take a couple bites and you're like, man, this is amazing. This is fantastic. If you're not saying much, you're like, thanks for inviting me kind of thing. So here's the thing. I've worked really hard on preparing you a really good spiritual meal today. And so if you sit there quiet, what's going to be my assumption? The food isn't very good, right? So the more you can kind of give me a little feedback to say, I like what you're saying right there, that lets me know the food's good, okay? You all right with that? Well, you guys just missed your spot right there. You guys all right with that? There we go. Okay. All right. So I do want to thank Pastor Eddie and Miss Peggy. As a lead pastor, you guys don't understand the weight that they carry for you. Not in a bad way. It's part of the call. They're thinking about you and your family, and they're thinking about your marriages, and they're thinking about your finances and how you can be more healthy in your life, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially. There's just a weight to their position. And so I will talk to Pastor Eddie at least once a month, if not more. We're constantly checking in with one another because, can I just tell you another little secret amongst lead pastors? Like, we don't have enough people in our lives that have sat under the same weights of that ministry that can understand the conversations that we need to have unless you've been there. And here's one thing. Can I do this? If you serve here at any capacity in New Beginnings Church, if you serve at all, would you mind stand up for me? Would you just stand? If you serve in any capacity here at the church, all right, so look around. This is a good-looking group, right? But here's what I want to say. I'm looking forward to the day that when I ask this question, everybody in the room stands up. Because we are that involved in what God wants to do right here in Covington, Louisiana. Amen? But, oh, wait, whoa, you can't sit down yet. You can't sit down yet. Here's the reason. I talk to him at least once a month, and there isn't hardly a month that goes by that he doesn't tell me about how amazing you guys are. You guys that serve, you guys that put your hand to the plow of what God's doing here. And so I just let it be encouragement for the rest of you. Man, this is a good team to be a part of. And listen, no one wants to join a losing team, and this is a winning team. So I encourage you, join this team because this is an amazing team. Amen. You guys can be seated. All right, so before we jump into this message, and I'll make this really short because I've had like three introductions so far to different parts. This message has been about a 20-year conversation that I've been having with God. And so you guys are just getting to hear some of what our conversation's been about in a message. But there's no one in this room that needs to hear this message more than me. And it's why God will not leave me alone about it. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 13, I know Pastor Eddie prayed, but I would like to just pray one more time. And this, if you will join me in this prayer, this is a prayer of surrender. Okay? So if you wouldn't mind, let's just pray again one more time. Father, we're so thankful, Father, for who you are. For the fact that you love us. For the fact that, Father, that you saw us. When we've been overlooked, you saw. When we thought no one else was there, you were. And Father, we pray this morning a prayer of surrender to say, Father, today I surrender my thoughts, my plans, my purposes, my ideas, the way I think things should go, I surrender that to you. Father, I pray that you would help us to stop bringing our plans to you and ask them to be blessed and just start asking you for your already blessed plans for us. Father, we surrender our mind, will, and emotion right now to you. Give us eyes to see so that we don't fail miss seeing something today. Give us ears to hear so that we're listening, but we still fail to hear. And give us a heart today that would be willing to have a conversation with you about anything that you want to talk to us about. In Jesus' name, amen? Okay, so Matthew 13, starting in verse 44. Jesus gives two parables right here, just back to back, just verse to verse. And he starts off and he says this. I'm reading this out of the Amplified. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a very precious treasure hidden in a field. And when a man found, and hid then again, then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field, securing the treasure for himself. And just right back again, very next up. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And upon finding a single pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it. Now listen, I pastored for a little over 12 years in Tampa. And I've preached this set of verses here from the context that, man, when we find God, man, we basically give up everything because God is such an amazing treasure. Have you ever heard it preached that way? Yeah. I mean, and listen, it's not an incorrect thing. I mean, God's worthy of that. Amen? He's worthy of my sacrifice. He's better than any earthly treasure we could grab onto. But can I just tell you this? It's not actually a biblical interpretation. It's a good thought. And I understand the context. It's kind of a side door entrance. Anybody ever use a side door? When I came yesterday to Pastor Eddie's house, Miss Peggy said, oh, I know you guys are from the South because you came to the side door, not the front door. But here's reality. The field was owned by somebody else. He had to purchase it back, right? So if I'm doing that with God, God's owned by no one. So to purchase God back is actually incorrect rendering of the scriptures. And then you compound it with the next thing he says. He says, man, a merchant looking for fine pearls. Well, where do pearls come from? Oysters, right? And let me tell you, the charbroiled oysters here are just, woo! Oh, my God. My God. But listen, this would have drove the Jews nuts when he made this statement, and here's why. Because Leviticus 11, any kind of clams, oysters, anything like that, that would have been considered unclean. That statement would have drove them nuts. And if we were trying to say God's the unclean thing that we need to acquire, it's a bad interpretation of Scripture, right? Who was the one that actually needed repurchasing? Who was the one that first started out unclean? Me. You. Us. That was us. Can I ask you a quick question? Let's use this as an example. Like, this would be an ordinary pen, but it's not ordinary because it says New Beginnings Church on here, which makes it from ordinary to extraordinary. Now, there's a good chance Pastor Eddie bought these at bulk, so he got a great deal on them. But if you were to say, hey, how much would you give me for this pen? How is the value of something determined? Whoa, somebody shout that out. Somebody said it right over here. Ooh, yes. So reality is, no matter what it is, see, this is the beauty of like a yard sale. I love yard sales because I love to haggle. I love to go to like Mexico and walk through their little shops and just see what I can barter them down to. But listen, some people, like my wife, that don't like to do that will pay full price, and it drives me crazy. Because I was like, you paid $40 for that? I'm sorry, you paid $40 for that? No, value is always determined by what someone is willing to pay, and when God found you... Come on, we need the tattoo right across our chest. I am the pearl. I'm the pearl. And when God found you, I might have been unclean at the time. There's an above average chance. But reality is, he was willing to give everything. Listen, he could not have paid a higher price. See, you know, like natural things that we value here, things like gold, things like silver, fine gems, fine pearls, like he makes fences out of those. He makes a fence out of that stuff. He makes pavement. And listen, you're so much more valuable than some pavement to be walked on. No, you're the pearl that he said, I will give the best thing that I can possibly give, which is my son, to buy you back. You're that valuable to me. Now listen, you may look at me and not think I'm not quite that valuable. But when God looks at me, he sees a pearl. And he says, you know what? You were worth my son. That's how much I value you. So here's the thing. This is hard for us. Can we just be honest? You know what I can't stand? And let me give you a quick side note. I cannot stand Christians that are hyper over spiritual. Pastor Eddie, I hope it's okay, but I gotta say this. Listen, you know, when I ask you how you're doing and you use 14 Bible vocabulary words to say fine, oh, brother, I'm so blessed. I'm way too blessed to be stressed. You know, I'm just, man, God is so, and I'm like, a simple fine would have been just, it would have worked. Like, I don't like over-spiritual. I like real. And can I be real with you? I don't always feel like a pearl. I don't always act like a pearl. My wife will tell you that. And because I have a hard time, because my behavior isn't always that great, I have a hard time picturing me as the pearl. And I want to disqualify me because of how I behave. And listen, I don't like over spiritual. I don't like Christianese that I have to sit there and like get an interpreter to understand what you just said. And the real Eddie Freeman stands up here and says, man, there are times where I'm the farthest thing from a pearl. And so it's hard for me to receive. It's hard for me to be viewed that way. Let me show you this. In Zephaniah 3, verse 17, this is out of the NLT. It says, for the Lord God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he'll calm all your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Let me just break this down for you real quick. If you look up the first part there, for the Lord God is living among you, you look that up in the Strong's Concordance, and it says, he is actively in and around your heart. He's actively in and around your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, your inside. He's actively working in, among, and through. It is wow, but there's sometimes where I'm like, man, it sure doesn't feel like it. I don't always feel like that. And then sometimes I think, well, I hope he's not in and around him right now because they ain't very good. Is that fair? But he is a mighty Savior. Thank God. He takes delight in you with gladness. The New American Standard says this, he exalts over you with triumphal jubilation. He rejoices over you. Here's the next part, which is even better. With his love, he'll calm all your fears. In the Amplified, it says this, he makes no mention of your past sins. So let me tell you where this is really helpful to me is, listen, if he exalts over me with triumphal jubilation, see, we have this tendency to hold grudges. Nobody in this church, I'm just saying, a lot of people in Dallas would do that. Not Louisiana, but reality is, like, we'll remember. Like, yeah, but you said, and yeah, and they parked in my spot, and yeah, they didn't even look at me when I walked through the door, and yeah, they didn't like my post on Facebook, and yeah. And so we make these, like, mental notes of issues that we have. But then we want to treat God like that. And we're like, God, man, don't you remember, like, last weekend what I was doing? And he's sitting there saying, no. I don't, because he makes no mention of my past mistakes and failures and shortcomings and sins. And let me tell you the best part. Here's the best part. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Who is the subject of the song? No, whoa, hold on. Because we just got done singing an amazing worship set. And we're talking to God about how much we need. Oh, God, I need you now. And we're singing songs about how I'm calling on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and every other character in the Bible. And our reality is that according to this scripture, he's up there doing the same thing about you. And we're singing songs to him, and he's standing up there, and listen, Don't have this religious mental picture that God never leaves the throne and he like moves one little pinky and all the angels fly up against the wall. And I guarantee you, my God walks those same streets and he's singing a song about you because you're the pearl. You're the pearl. And so he's singing songs just about you. And the angels are like, oh, who's he singing about now? And just walking streets. But the same way we are singing songs to and about him is the same way he's singing. I can't wait. Like if this was like 30 years ago, I can only imagine what the verses and stuff would have been. The bridge would have been horrific. Sorry, all the non-singing people are like, bridge, what's he talking about? But listen, he's not singing a song about where I came from. He's not singing songs about Leviticus 11, the unclean part of who I am. He's singing songs about the pearl. He's singing songs about you remembering none of your past mistakes. Can I please get an amen? Thank God. But, so hear me out. Hear me out. Why is it so easy to believe the unclean story instead? Isn't that just easier? Like, I'm just a screw up. I make mistakes. I'd love to tell you I'm past that, but evidently I'm not. I'd love to tell you I'm past wanting to flip somebody off when they cut me off on the interstate on I-14 in Dallas, but I'm not. I know, like, if you're a minister, you should never want to have those thoughts, but they ring through. Sorry if I break down your imagery. Please don't hold me on that high of a pedestal because I'm sure to fall off. It's easier to believe that I'm just the unclean thing. It's hard for me to believe, especially when I make a mistake, that I'm the pearl. That's hard. Amen? If you look at, and I'm just going to briefly touch on Romans 5, starting in verse 3. This is a personal scripture for me because he said we can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. We can rejoice, for we know that they're there to help us develop endurance. And he goes through this whole list, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not thinking about my endurance when I'm going through an issue. I'm just not. Because when I'm going through an issue, here's what I think, because this is how we've all been programmed since we were born, that if I do good, I get good, but if I do bad, I get bad. And so I'm programmed to think, well, I jacked that up. I need to be punished. Because that's how we've been raised. That's the American way. And it's hard for me because when I think there's a trial, when I think there's a problem, when things aren't going the way I think they should go, here's what we typically do. What did I do wrong? What mistake did I make? How did I jack this up? Because it's easier to believe that I'm just the unclean thing in Leviticus 11. It's hard sometimes to believe that I'm the pearl. Can anybody relate to this? Can I show it to you real time? And I'm going to do this like super, super quick. Am I in the negative? I promise I'll make this quick. Luke 5. See, I need you to see this from Peter's perspective. I can relate to Peter. I don't know about you. But it felt like Peter's just nonstop doing something that he kind of gets called on the carpet for. And like if Pastor Marcus watches this, I'm sure there'll be a few things that he's like, okay, let's have a talk. So he says this, Luke 5, verse 1. So it was. Now, and let me tell you this real quick. I'm so sorry. Most scholars believe this is Peter's very first interaction with Jesus. Some scholars argue that the language they use suggests that it's not, but most will argue this is his very first interaction with Jesus. So it was, as the multitudes pressed about him, Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of the Gerasenes and the two boats standing by the lake and saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and he taught the multitudes. Let me pause real quick. Did any of you guys fish? If you own your own boat, will you raise your hand? Okay, what would you do if some strange dude just walked up and, like, got in your boat? That's not cool. Let me tell you, boat etiquette 101. You don't get my boat. This is like boat etiquette 101, and Jesus just broke it. And he gets in, and he's like, hey, you mind putting me out? Listen, I think this was a moment that Peter's over there just like, he got my boat. So he pushes him off. Jesus preaches his story. And when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Here's like fishing etiquette 102. I know fishing. You don't. You stick to your preaching. I'll stick to my fishing. Nevertheless, he says, Master, which that's so interesting. Master, we have toiled all night and we've caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. Now you need to understand the context. This is a net-breaking, boat-sinking load of fish, enough to sink two boats. Peter's main profession is what? Fishing. Some would argue this would have made his entire year in one moment. How many of you would just like to go to work tomorrow and know your entire year is covered? Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But here's the thing. Man, the goodness of God is being poured out. And what's Peter's response? What is the subject? Who's the subject of Peter's response when he says, depart from me, I'm a sinful man? Who's the subject of that statement? So in the presence of the Son of God, in a moment where God is pouring out his love, what's the only thing Peter can think about? Depart from me. Can anybody relate to that but me? That man, when I try to get in the presence of God, all this thing just keeps playing over and over again is how many times I've jacked it up. Come on, can anybody relate? How's the food? How's the food right now? Is the food all right? Because I can relate to this. Here's what Peter's saying. I don't deserve this. I didn't earn this. As a matter of fact, the only thing I can think about is how good you are and how not good I am. All right, fast forward. Hey, can I just tell you this real quick? If you're taking notes, write this down. You want to know the number one thing, that prohibits you from receiving all of God's love. You want to know what the number one thing is? You. You're the number one roadblock. You're the number one thing clogging the pipe. You. Because why? Because it's easier to do what Peter does. I don't deserve that. I didn't. Why would Pastor call people to the altar? Because you'll do it for other people, but you won't do it for me. What are we saying? Depart from me. I'm sinful. I've made too many mistakes. Oh, God, don't you remember? Well, according to Zephaniah, he's sitting there saying, no, I don't remember that. Why? Because you're the pearl. and you don't even know it. Here's Peter's last, according to scholars, his last interaction with Jesus, and then we'll wrap up. So cue the piano, because that's when you really know, like, service is about to end. That's how you know. Like, somebody can say they're closing, but when you hear the piano, this is like, the next thing is the hook to come out. All right, the guitar then. So, somebody cue the musicians, because we're closing. Hey! Is it okay that we have some fun here in the house of God? Is that all right? This is their last interaction together, scholars say. John 21, starting in verse 3. Please read the entire chapter. I'm just going to read a snippet. So, listen. Jesus has been crucified. He's been taken to a tomb. Peter has denied him now 3 times. And so, could we just maybe argue together, this is probably a pretty low point for Peter in his Christianity? Could we say that? I'd say maybe the lowest point in Peter's Christianity. I've totally denied Jesus. Like, I heard the cock crow. He whipped his eye. He locked eyes with me after I said I don't know him. That's a pretty low point, right? They're up in hiding. And so verse 3, man, I can relate to Peter. He blurts out, I'm going fishing. I'm going to go fish. I love electronics. So he says, I'm going to go fish. Simon Peter told him, and they said, and this is James and John, could have been some others, but we'll go with you. So they went out, they got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus, and he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Does this story sound eerily familiar? This is the exact same story 3.5 years ago. And listen, God really, the first and the last is a big deal to God. And his first interaction is this same story. And now we're at what scholars believe to be the last interaction. And it's the identical same story. But there's one major difference. Okay? Verse 7, the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed in the boat. Now here's the question. What is Peter more aware of, his failure or how loved he is? No, wait, whoa. That doesn't make sense. He just denied him 3 times. It's the lowest point of his Christianity. What would compel him to wrap a garment around and dive towards the very one that he rejected? Because it finally sunk in. I'm the pearl. I'm the pearl. When you know how loved you are, it's you finally take your eyes off of you and you get them on to the one that loves you. You're the pearl. Quick side note. You know, it's interesting because John wrote the book of John, and John loves to refer to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. When you're the author, you can call yourself whatever you want. So he calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. But there's a nugget of truth here that I think we really need to grab onto. When you know how much you're loved, you'll see Jesus in things before anybody else does. Come on, can I just say that one more time? Because a couple of you really, if you'll grab onto this, when you realize how loved you are, you'll see Jesus before anybody else does. Man, God is so good. Would you stand to your feet for me? Can we close in a moment of intimate prayer with Dad? And if you would, just, again, just keep it personal. If you would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Just, again, this is between you and God. It's not between anybody else. But right now, in this moment, is there anything in your life, right now, today, this morning, is there anything in your life that would want to make you push away from Jesus? Because you're more aware of your mistakes than you are His love. Come on, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now? Is there anything that makes you more aware of your mistakes than His love? As you're standing there, again, just between you and God, but will you ask God this question? And listen, don't you leave here until you have an answer. But will you ask God this question? Will you tell me how much you love me? He loves you more than you can ever imagine. You are the pearl that He was willing to pay the highest price for. When He paid Jesus for you, He loves you so much. And you don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. And your works couldn't qualify you. So stop allowing your works to disqualify you. He loves you so much. Father, in Jesus' name, let it be said about this church and these people that they're always the first ones to see Jesus because they know how much they're loved. We pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, we've been talking about a lot of food here. How many of y'all are hungry? It's a good thing Pastor Eddie loves you so much that he has gave a whole meal right out here for us to enjoy together. Amen. So listen, can we just be the body of Christ one to another? Can we love on one another? And can we spend some time? Great things happen over a meal. Can we agree with that? So let's go have a meal together. Let's spend time together enjoying how much God loves you. Hey, as you leave today, will you tell somebody, I'm the pearl? All right, we love you guys. You have a great day. Make sure you click the QR code for community groups, and we'll see you next Sunday.